That is a perfect example, ladies and gentlemen, of why Doug Gefeller and I do Critical Mass, the radio show here on octalkradio.net. We are convinced that the act of interviewing knowledgeable business leaders and thought leaders in the industry can really help our listening audience make better, more informed decisions. And I would strongly encourage you as a business owner, top executive, to reflect on your internal practices that you have relative to loss prevention and pre-screening and hiring of the right employees, because it's such a valuable and as Will said, in some ways, easy way to pick up profitability in your business. So I was very excited to have Will as our guest. I'm glad I was able to do the radio show interview with him today, and I strongly encourage you to learn more about Will's area of expertise, and if you're interested, contact Will. Turning our attention to our second guest this afternoon here on Critical Mass on Orange County, octalkradio.net, Dr. Thomas Boyd, who's with the Mihailo College of Business and Economics at California State University, Fullerton, is here to talk to us today. The topic's going to be the branding strategy for Mihailo College of Business and Economics, and I'm excited to have Tom with us because Dr. Boyd is Associate Dean and has been since August of 2009. Before that, he served as Executive Director of Graduate Programs and coordinated the branding efforts at Mihailo College. And so it gives me great enthusiasm. With great enthusiasm, I want to welcome Dr. Thomas Boyd to the radio show. Dr. Tom, welcome to Critical Mass for Business with octalkradio.net.
Thanks, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here, and I really appreciate your inviting me on.
Well, it's my pleasure, believe me. Dr. Tom, I told a little bit about your background, but could you maybe spend a couple minutes and talk to our audience about your path to Cal State Fullerton?
Sure, I'd be happy to. It's kind of an eclectic path. I actually started my career out of undergraduate school as a swimming coach in Michigan, running one of the largest programs in the state. I then went and got my MBA and went to work at Motorola in product management in their portable products division, and was working at the factory that actually won the first Malcolm Baldrige Award, so I got to see some quality management firsthand, and I think that both of those jobs have really done a great deal to shape my current perspectives on what I do now. After Motorola, I went back to school to get my PhD. I'm a Tar Heel, University of North Carolina. Went from there to work at Miami of Ohio for 8 years, and then came in 2001 to join Cal State Fullerton's faculty.
And they're lucky to have you, Dr. Tom.
Thanks.
In a few minutes, we're going to talk about the branding strategy and the process. And I was excited, and I'm excited to have you on the show because, you know, Doug and I believe that 80% of what a business owner deals with, it's kind of common. And the process that you used and having so many experts as well, if you will, on the faculty and associated with the Mihailo College will be a good instructional opportunity for our listening audience who may be considering, you know, their brand in the marketplace and learning from the process that the college has used. But before we do that, can you talk a little bit about specifically what is your role today, Tom, at the university?
My role as Associate Dean for Academic Programs and Faculty Development really covers a pretty broad range of academic responsibilities. I oversee faculty research, faculty development, curriculum and curriculum development, student advising, handle any other issues that might relate to the students or the faculty. And then in addition to those responsibilities, mostly because of my background in marketing and branding, I've also started working on the branding and marketing strategies for the college as well, which of course, because of my interest, make it particularly relevant and rewarding. I've really enjoyed doing that. I think a lot of people don't realize just what a big place we are. We have about 8,000 undergraduates and usually between 700 and 800 graduate students at any given time. And we have a new $85 million building that has really energized both the students and the faculty. I think really energize them to pursue excellence, and we've seen, you know, incredible things being done already, even though we've only been here for about 15 months. But all of that has tied in so powerfully to our rebranding efforts that it's made it an incredibly interesting experience over the last really 3 years since we've started the concerted effort to look at rebranding. But again, that's just a piece of what I do, but it's it ties to everything, because when we look to rebrand ourselves, the brand is not a tagline or a motto. The brand is who we are. And so it really starts at the core with our curriculum, our faculty, and our students. And so while some people may say, gee, it doesn't make sense to pair those activities together, I think it makes perfect sense.
Well, I think, and the analogy to a business is very direct in my mind as you're explaining that, Tom. It's sort of like, you know, the thing that the business does needs to be congruent with their external brand image if, in my opinion, over the long term, it's going to resonate with their customer base and future customers. I mean, it all comes from the activity of the organization.
Absolutely. You know, when we teach competitive advantage, we talk about the things that a business can do that cannot be duplicated by competition. And again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I think it's such an important lesson for us. The brand is who you are. The brand is not the advertising campaign. And when you really dig deep and figure out what it is you do better than your competition, than others around you, that really leads you to some very careful examination about your business priorities. And I think it can really open your eyes to what opportunities are before you, but it's certainly a long, hard process.
Before we get into the substantive discussion on the branding and the brand positioning for the Mahalo College,
sure.
Could you answer a question, Tom? Of all the things that you've learned as you've risen in your career, is there an overarching life lesson or guiding principle that you use in how you approach your responsibilities?
There sure is. And this is one that I think started to develop when I was a coach, actually. People want to excel. I have never had an employee or a direct report or an indirect report for that matter or a student who didn't want to be really good at what they did. And what I've learned from that is that my desire to have an impact on the world is best satisfied by my working to help the outstanding people around me to excel. And when I approach my relationships with them as really my trying to find a way to help them excel, I think it makes a big difference in their lives and their abilities to achieve their goals and their attitudes about their work, and it makes it fun for me. And I think that helps to foster really very positive working relationships. It's worked real well for me.
Good. And I think that's a very good lesson for our listening audience to reflect on what you just said, because I think, to put my words on it, Tom, if you don't mind, I
not
think for any of those of us that have had children, they sort of want to model how they perceive themselves being in your eyes. And so that image that you project is very powerful. And when you're looking for where they can excel, my experience is they will live up to that. And so that's a very powerful lesson. So appreciate you sharing it.
Yeah, well, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's a good lesson for parenting, too.
You know, Tom, we're going to break our next conversation into two parts. We're going to talk about sort of the process and lessons learned and then the outcome. So let's deal first with the process because, you know, you and I have talked. If a company isn't aware and consciously managing its brand, that doesn't mean it doesn't have a brand. It just means they don't control it. So, you know, many times firms maybe don't go embark on this either because they're not sure how to do it or they don't know the ultimate value of doing it. So could you give us sort of, and would you discuss with our audience your lessons learned about the process that the school went through to develop the position, the branding?
Absolutely, I'd love to. First of all, it's hard work, and it takes a long time. It took us 3 years, and we have a college full of people who are paid pretty big sums of money to consult on branding. We have some real experts here, and it still took a long time, and it was still really hard work because branding is a process of self-examination that goes beyond clever sayings, and sometimes that self-examination is the hardest thing to do. So it's really hard work would be number one, I think. Number two, you have to decide on who you want to be. One of the greatest struggles we had is that we did so many different things. We're so large and so diverse that we wanted to talk about every single thing we did well and make that our brand. But that lacks direction. And you can't be everything to everyone, even if you're large and diverse. And so if you don't decide who you are, by default, your market will decide who you are. And as a Cal State University school, you know, Cal State's kind of a generic brand. And so we could talk about providing an excellent education to large numbers of people, but that doesn't really define who we are, what we're about here, and why we're different and why we're special. So, you know, the market branded us as sort of a generic Cal State, someplace that educates a lot of students. That isn't enough, and we had to take control of that message and that image if we're ever going to make that change. So that's number two. Number three, through this process, we continued to revisit our mission and goals with almost alarming regularity. We had to continue, as we would try to arrive at ideas about what was distinctive about us and what we do here and what we accomplish with our students and our business partners, we had to constantly go back and say, wait, is this what is truly consistent with our mission? Is this consistent with the goals that we've set for ourselves? It's, you know, I think every organization now probably reviews their mission and goals once a year, but this was really a constant effort of going back. Every time we made a little bit of progress on branding, we had to go back and review it because you really have to be true to how you define yourselves. And the mission, after all, should define who you are. So three was keep going back to the mission and goals. Number four, I think, is do your research. Do not assume that you know what the market thinks of you. Don't assume that you know better. It's very hard inside an organization, and this was a lesson I really learned back at Motorola as well. We were such experts at radio communications, we thought we knew what people wanted, and I learned a hard lesson when I listen to the engineers who wanted technology for technology's sake, and we implemented a radio that had too much capability for what our markets wanted at the time. It's the same kind of thing. You don't assume that people want what you think they want, and don't always assume you're the expert on your constituency's needs, your market's needs. So spend a lot of time on research, as much as you can afford to do, and then double it. We engaged an outside consultant, we did focus groups, we several different times during the process went out and talked to a variety of outside people, alumni, businesses that hire our graduates, students that are here now, people in the community at large. We ran focus groups on our graduate school. We did just so much research, and we never stopped asking questions, and that really helped us to narrow our focus on what we were good at. And then I think finally the number five, and I've talked about the fact that it took a long time. It's hard work, but you have to face that you are not necessarily going to get an answer to your question of what should our brand be or who are we in 6 months. It is not a matter of one person deciding who we are. It's a matter of really hearing the voice of everyone involved with it. And, you know, somebody told me a story the other day that I thought was just incredible, that had so much to do with having everyone in your organization believe in the brand. It's a story about an executive at NASA back in the 60s, and he was working late one night, and he was there at about 8 o'clock at night, and he was leaving, and a janitor, who was a day janitor, was in a stairwell sweeping, and the executive said, "Hey, what are you doing here so late?" And he said, "I'm helping to put a man on the moon." Mm. And, you know, it's a little hokey. Who knows? Maybe it's an urban legend. Somebody just passed the story along to me, but it really does illustrate the importance of having everyone in your organization understand why your brand is what it is and supporting the brand story. And that means you have to include them in the process. So, hard work, long time.
Yeah, it's and that's, you've said a lot of transferable learning events. I wouldn't attempt to rephrase or touch upon them all, but that one I think is truly powerful in that this isn't an executive retreat activity necessarily. This is because at the end of the day, it's got to resonate not only outside your firm, but probably as importantly inside your firm with the employees who need to look at that and say, "Hey, that makes sense. You know, that's my experience." And so the process of, while it may feel like it slows it down a bit to include a larger segment of your company or organization in your case, at the end of the day, it probably delivers a more cohesive outcome, I would think. Do you agree?
I absolutely do. And, you know, to take it a step further, if you think in your business, who are the people that are going to be the face of our brand? For many of your customers, it's not your advertising. It will be the people who they have contact with. And often that's the people who answer the phones, your direct sales force, you know, employees on the inside of the firm who are kind of in the corporate marketing function. They're not always the people that are on the front lines of branding and delivering the brand to customers. Yet, you know, if you don't have the buy-in of those people, they're not going to be selling your brand to people. So in their professionalism, in their attitudes, in their beliefs about the business, in the way that they approach customers and how to help customers solve problems, you know, that all says a lot about your brand, and those people better believe in it. And so I think including them in the process is worth the time and effort to do it.
Boy, and the challenge that I'm thinking of as you're talking to do it with integrity, to really develop a truly differentiated position that is you can defend and have it be something that resonates with your employee population is probably why the challenge that you talk about is a multi-month, long-term type of proposition that you get into. It's not something that you can go away for a weekend and come back and say, "Okay, guys, the smoke's up the chimney. We figured it out. Here it is." Right?
Yeah, that's exactly true. And it was a little frustrating to me because I tend to be really very eager to complete projects, and it was a little tricky. You know, I'm like, "Okay, let's finish this puppy. Let's get on to the next thing." And, of course, that was impossible to do with this. But, you know, it was funny because when we came out the other end of the process, we all kind of stood around asking ourselves, "Why did this take so long? This doesn't seem that complicated." It was something that you know, didn't seem that difficult when we finished because it seemed so self-apparent. But I think that actually is a testament to the effectiveness of the process, that people felt like, "Wow, we've really arrived at who we are, and now it seems obvious to us."
As opposed to them going, "What?
Yeah.
That's not us."
Right, yeah. Who is this? Who are you describing? And to be perfectly honest, I've seen some campaigns from some very, very good schools where the story they were telling didn't really have a lot of a relationship to the reality of who they were and who they were trying to be. And you kind of scratch your head. You say, "Well, this all sounds very impressive, but what does it have to do with reality?"
That doesn't mean it shouldn't be somewhat aspirational, though. I mean, it needs to kind of call in a higher order. But what you're saying is, maybe if it's done right, it's as self-evident, and people that look at it go, "Yeah, that makes..." But then they undervalue the effort that it took to get there. I think that's a great segue to say, "Okay, well, Tom, let's talk about the Mihailo College and the 3-year initiative to develop a strategic plan that included a branding strategy for the School of Business and Economics. So describe to our audience the outcome of that effort.
Okay. First, we believe that we do have a unique brand for the college. And that brand, what we refer to as our brand statement, which is a short paragraph that describes our position on our brand, really has 3 key elements to it. One is our impact on our immediate business environment, which is Southern California. And for a long time, we focused on our size, but we realized that size isn't, first of all, it isn't a guarantee of quality. Second of all, our size does not guarantee our importance, but the impact that we truly have had on this region, we have more alumni here than any other university. We have over 50,000 alumni in the workforce, and most of them are still in or around Orange County, California. So we have all these accomplished professionals in the business world who are making an impact on this market every day. That's piece one. Piece two is our physical location. Southern California is an important market gateway to the Asia-Pacific Rim. It is an unbelievable business environment for learning. And with the high-tech and entrepreneurial spirit in this region, it is not the same as other important business markets or big cities. And so with this importance to global markets for the United States and the high-tech and entrepreneurial spirit of the region, we offer a physical location that is somewhat unique. Now, the physical location alone does not give us a unique way to provide value to our students because there are other schools located here that can offer that same market, and there are other schools that can offer other dynamic markets. But when we pair that with our impact on this region, it starts to get a little tougher to imitate. Then finally, we have our network. The third piece of this is the ability to connect with all of these people who are in this business market. These between 45,000 and 50,000 business professionals who are graduates of the Mihailo College, who work in this region, who really form the largest, most influential network in the area. So what we can offer to our graduates as a unique value proposition is their ability to become a member of this network while they're getting their education, offering them the opportunity to interface with people in the business community in this completely dynamic, interesting, somewhat unique business environment where they get to learn in a place where a lot of people would, you know, give their eye teeth to be able to have real business experience, and they get to be part of this organization that has this really unmatched impact on the region. So those are the 3 pieces of our brand statement. And as we worked on this and tried to think both in terms of our aspirations and our reality, we then had to also deliver this message in a much more succinct way, because obviously you can't, you know, in a 15-second elevator conversation, you're not going to be able to deliver all of this message. And so what we really wanted to convey to people is that both the college and its faculty and the students, the graduates of this school, are in their relationships to Southern California business, we are ready to work, ready to lead. And that is the tagline that we're adopting for the kickoff of this campaign, is that not only are our students ready to work, and in our research we discovered that people love our graduates because they are so work-ready, they have great work ethic. Many of them worked full-time while they were in school. They understand hard work. They have realistic expectations for the workplace. They're just terrific. And so we received a great deal of feedback on our students' readiness to work when they get out. And not only that, but our college is ready to work with business in the region, and we want to get that message across as well. We're ready to work with you as a business to make your business better and to find new opportunities. And we're ready to partner with business as well, of course. Then on the lead side, we have instituted a number of new initiatives in our curriculum to instill in our students greater leadership skills, greater strength of experience in the kinds of things that good leaders are good at, understanding the role that people play in a team, negotiation skills, networking skills. These are all things that we're working on with our students to help improve their leadership skills, give them the confidence they need to be a team leader, a business leader, a group leader in any of a number of settings. As well as that, then, of course, we have the college itself now, which is ready to help lead Orange County into new innovative business practices. So you can see that the tagline of ready to work, ready to lead really refers to a number of different relationships that occur between us and our business environment.
So you, Tom, you've begun to sort of touch on my next question, which was, okay, now that the Mahalo College has a brand positioning and has it set, what are the plans for implementation of the plan?
Oh, you mean we're not done? well, we're taking our tagline very seriously. We actually debuted the tagline for our baseball fans on the inside back cover of the Angels American League Division Series game against Boston. And we you know, certainly want to get the message out there. But much of what we do is not just advertising. I think, especially with our budget crisis, we don't have a great deal of money to spend on this. The Angels gave us a great break to get our kickoff message in the program. But we've really divided our branding strategy into two groups, what we call our internal constituents and then our external constituents. And we have developed a very detailed plan for how we will work with our staff and faculty, how we will work with our students, and how we will work with our administration to train them in our brand identity, what it means to them. So, for example, when we go to talk to our faculty about our new brand identity, we talk to them about the importance of providing students with the opportunity to interact with the community here, with the business community here. And so we talk to them about what are the ways that you can bring this unique learning environment into the classroom by bringing in outside speakers, by doing class projects with real businesses, and any number of other innovative ways that our faculty have come up with. But we talk to them then about the role that they play in the creation of this brand. When we talk to our staff, we talk about the professionalism and the example that we must set in leading the business community. With our students, we talk about their responsibilities, and we've been working to empower our students to take more responsibility for gaining the kind of leadership experience that will make them valuable employees in the workplace. So we've tried to really improve communication about those kinds of opportunities for students, and then worked as hard as we possibly can to get students involved in the kinds of opportunities that give them those experiences. I mean, to really get them doing rather than just reading about what it's like to be a leader. And so detailed programs on the inside, what you might refer to as internal marketing, and then, of course, for external marketing, for each of our external constituencies, it also has a different implication. So we want businesses in the area to know about the quality of our graduates and what they can expect when they hire a Cal State Fullerton business grad. We also want them to know that we're here looking for opportunities to bring the business community into the classrooms and for our faculty to partner with business, both in terms of conducting research but also to use the leading edge research that our faculty does to help businesses be better and to be more profitable. And so, you know, we have a strategy targeting businesses. We then have a strategy targeting our alumni. They need to know how this brand helps to increase the value of their degree, which of course is very important to us, and the status and prestige of their degree. This brand is really about delivering the reality of who we have been for quite a while, but we've never told the world about it. So we're, you know, we have a separate strategy for alumni, and then of course we have other external constituencies and markets, including politicians who control the purse strings. We have all of the public and private foundations that provide grants as we get more competitive about securing grants for our faculty to do more research and to do innovation and curriculum. So, you know, I should stop there. I've really gone on about the details of this plan, but the point here is that the brand is not just one simple message to all people. The brand is the same to everyone, but the implications of who you are as a brand are different depending on who the constituency is, internal and external, and you have to develop the meaning of that brand to each one of them and deliver that message to them as succinctly and clearly as you possibly can. And that's the only way you reinforce it in the marketplace.
Well, I appreciate you spending that amount of time explaining how you're now implementing it, because they're probably, in your experience working with companies, is once you get it done, especially the process as described earlier in this interview, there is some organizational fatigue maybe around this whole effort. And it's a shame if you don't then take that and infuse that in all the areas where it can be to help to make it even more reflective of how you're dealing with your, as you said, various constituents.
Oh, how you speak the truth, sir. That's really true. And, you know, everybody's a little worn out. And, of course, the people that have been working on it the most closely are like, oh, my God, how do we need to train people? Aren't they sick of it and knowledgeable about it? But, of course, what we've been talking about for 3 years is news to anyone who hasn't been involved in that process. And so, you know, we're making use of all kinds of new approaches, including social networks. And so, believe it or not, the college has a Twitter account and Facebook.
Good.
And other forms of social networking. You know, we're just like businesses are. We're trying to find all those new ways of reaching our customers.
Tom, is there anything else about you or the school that we've not talked about today that you'd like to say here in wrapping up the interview?
Well, you know, if I could put in a pitch, we would love to continue to increase our involvement with the business community. And we here have what we call centers of excellence that are really our bridges to the business community. And we have some that are really, really relevant to what any business leader is doing today. We have a Center for Corporate Reporting and Governance. We have a Center for Sales Leadership, a Center on Insurance and Risk Management. We have a Leadership Center and Centers for Entrepreneurship and Family Businesses. And we would love to hear from people that would like to get involved with the work of our centers. They can put people in touch with faculties who are experts in any number of fields. There are great opportunities to network through all of these groups. There are opportunities to come into the classroom if people are interested in passing their experiences and expertise along to students. We truly want to be a partner with the business community, and we hope that people will take advantage of some of these centers to do just that.
So if they're interested, how would they find out more information?
Well, at great risk to myself, I'm going to give you my contact information, and I can put people in touch with the right center. So first of all, for people that want to search for the centers themselves, they can go to our college website, which is www.business.fullerton.edu. Again, that's business.fullerton.edu. Or they're welcome to contact me directly. My email is tboyd, T-B-O-Y-D, at fullerton.edu.
Well, thanks for doing that. I appreciate that, Tom. You know,
my pleasure.
Kind of in closing from my perspective, obviously Stephen G. Mihailo made a significant investment contribution, if you will, to the college. And it's interesting to me how that created, helped to create the building, which helped to create the energy, which is, you know, really, if people haven't been to the campus, they need to go to see the school because it's an amazing building, a great place for learning. And then last week I was able to attend the 2009 Economic Forecast Conference, and the keynote speaker was Richard Davis, who's chairman and president and CEO of U.S. Bancorp, and he's also a California State University Fullerton graduate. So
yeah,
significant business experience and success has been, you know, and these are just two examples of the 50,000 that you talk about that the school has graduated.
Yeah, it's really amazing, and I'll tell you, there's nothing so gratifying as walking through the grand foyer in the new building and seeing 200 students in small groups with laptops open and all the great study spaces we have working enthusiastically on their coursework, their projects, their teamwork. It's just the vibrancy of this building. I can't even begin to say what a difference it has made. And, of course, thanks to Stephen Mihailo and all of the people who worked so hard to make it happen inside the business and other fantastic donors. I mean, obviously he's taken a huge leadership role, but it took many, many people. And they've made something very special happen. It's been very exciting to be a part of this.
And being on the outside watching, it's been exciting to watch the transformation. And I really appreciate the time that you've taken both today here during the interview and the time you took to prepare for this interview, Tom. I believe there was a lot of opportunity for people who have listened to this segment to learn and apply. And I would encourage people, if they're interested in feeling business owners, executives, that they need some more help, to reach out to the college, because, you know, I know firsthand the quality of the faculty. Many of the faculty are there, and you're right, there's a lot of very knowledgeable people, including yourself, on this subject matter that's right here in, you know, in Fullerton that, you know, would be easy to engage. So thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you so much, Rick. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure, too. Have a good day, Tom.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
That is a second example, ladies and gentlemen, of why Doug and I do Critical Mass, the radio show, on octalkradio.net. We are very excited about the thought leaders and executives, educators here within Orange County that can help each other make better, more informed decisions. So I would strongly encourage you to take the time out and hopefully catch Doug's show tomorrow. He's got two outstanding guests. It's going to be a very interactive hour of conversation with Doug and his guests on Wednesday. And we're all about helping you make better, more informed decisions. And so until the next time we're together here on Critical Mass, the radio show on octalkradio.net, here's hoping that all your decisions on the future.
You've been listening to OC's TalkRadio.net leading business program, Critical Mass.